Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. All right. Welcome, everybody. It looks like we've got people on already. And I don't know if it shows, but on my thing, it says Mike Campion 2 under Natalie's name, which makes me happy. Like, she's a mini me. She's definitely smaller than I am.
A very, very mini me.
All right. Well, so excited you guys are on today. We are going to dive into something that I've been hearing a lot in my coaching over the last week or two, and I really want to dive in to help you guys, which is how to stop cleaning and start having a cleaning business. So many of you out there feel like, rightfully so, that you don't have a business, you have a job, right? You got to clean, and if you stop cleaning, you stop getting paid, which is the definition to a job, and you want to move into a business that pays you whether you clean or not, right? So when you're working on your business, you get paid. If you choose to work in your business, which isn't my favorite, you get paid. And the best part is when you work out of your business, i.e. you're on the beach or hanging out with your family, you get paid. So today we're going to talk about that. And if you don't get this right, this can absolutely kill your entrepreneurial spirit, your ability to make money, and ultimately, and this is when folks usually come to me, make you want to quit and just kind of give up on the whole thing. In that, sometimes we get into this because we want a business, and then a year in or 2 years in or even 5 years in, we find that we've got ourselves a job, which is a terrible job, right? It's a job cleaning, which isn't what we got in this to do. And it's got a ton of stress because you've got a bill and get customers, do all that other stuff, and you don't even get paid that well. So today we're going to talk about how to transition from cleaning and start owning. Lovely Natalie, have you any comments or feedback or anything you want to share before I start blabbing?
No, I'm just really excited. I think we are so fortunate to be able to serve amazing people in the cleaning industry. And it just breaks my heart to see people that truly love helping people. And they really do have a passion for cleaning and giving people their lives back. But the cost of that on their bodies and on their family lives and just their emotional well-being over, you know, a number of years is heartbreaking. So I'm really excited to talk about this because this is kind of one of my personal key motivators in what we do.
Well, in that case, if Natalie's fired up, I'm fired up. Hello to Emma Rostron from the UK. I don't know why it is. We get so many on the, you know, we got a lot of clients in Canada and United States and Australia and all that good stuff. But when it comes to the live presentations, it's all UK all the time. Maybe it's because we're all like on the middle of the night over there. And that's when you guys are interested. But anyway, welcome to our UK folk. Love that you guys turn out for the live. So let's just jump right in. A couple of the beliefs, really most of the time when we aren't able to get something done, it's because we've got a belief that's holding us back. It's either a system or a tactic or a technique that we're using coupled with a belief that's killing us. So I want to make sure, as much as we talk tactics, we talk beliefs, because the right tactics with wrong beliefs will sink you every time, right? And the right beliefs with wrong tactics will sink you every time. We've got to get to make it work. So the first belief that we've got to make sure we don't have is the paperwork to find and hire employees is too much. It's scary. I don't want to do it. For the United States, at least, it's, you got to have W-2s and W-3s, I think, at the end of the year, or W-4s, I'm not sure. And then there's your 941s, your 945s, there's monthly taxes, there's quarterly taxes. There's all sorts of withholding and all sorts of ways to get sideways with the government. So that fear of not wanting to, Emma says it's 5:32. She usually misses the live, so she's excited to be here. We're excited to have you, Emma. It is 10:30. We're here in Phoenix, so it's 10:30 in the morning. Listen, Emma's listening to 5:30 in the afternoon. And for all of you guys on the podcast or the video, who knows what time it is, but I love the day and age that we live in, that Emma and I can hang out across the world, morning my time, evening her time, and talk about how to grow a cleaning company. So good to have you, Emma. So glad you're on. The reality is that the fact that the paperwork is important and you've got to do it right, I don't want to say that's a good fear, but that's a good belief that is not going to hold you back. The time where that gets to be a problem and it is going to hold you back is when you think, therefore, I can't move forward. I have to be stuck, right? I can't hire employees. You can also have the, there's a lot of, well, I hired an employee once and they stole something, or even worse, I heard from someone else that When you hire employees, things go wrong. So I can't hire employees, right? As long as we get that belief that employees are going to make your life worse, not better. We're not insane, right? So we're not going to do something that we think makes our life worse, not better. We're always going to do things that we think are good. So not only do we want to eliminate the bad beliefs, which is going to be huge, we want to replace them with good beliefs that are actually going to help. Oh man, Bradley says hello from frozen Wisconsin, which makes me feel bad because I'm literally looking out my window at cactus. We have a mountain in front that's got other little cactus on it, and I'm wearing basketball shorts and I'm indoors, but I'm going to go outside. I think it's like 60, I don't know, but it is not frozen. Glad to have you on the broadcast, Bradley. So that said, we want to not just eliminate the beliefs of, you know, the employees are too hard, something bad could happen. We want to replace them with effective beliefs. So let's do that right now. We want to replace the belief of the paperwork to find and hire employees is too much, right? I'm going to get sued. I'm going to screw up the taxes. My life's somehow going to be miserable. And those all could be the reality of it. Oh my gosh, Bradley says I've got negative 15. I didn't even know that it went to the negatives, Bradley. In Phoenix, I don't think we've ever gotten a zero. God forbid negatives. My heart goes out to you, baby. Okay, so that said, we want to replace it with a belief of, I can get this done. And we want to, and honestly, the questions that we ask ourselves can really help or hinder us as well. So we want to replace, I can't do this government thing. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to do it wrong. I'm going to owe a bunch of back taxes, blah, 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 blah. We want to replace that with, what do I need to do to mitigate this risk? And the way that we do that is we hire someone who knows how to do it, right? And I don't promote any specific company, but ADP I've used, they're fine. I've heard Paychex works fine. A lot of people use their accountants. I really do want to make sure that you're using anyone that's got a guarantee, right? If it's your own accountant doing it and he screws up, you're probably on the hook. But you know, the bigger companies, they're going to take care of that. They screw up, you're going to get that. So again, the big thing is, sure, using a company, and again, it might be, if you're just starting out, it might be $100 or so a payroll. It's not very expensive. For $200 all in, you get your whole payroll done, absolutely guaranteed that we can make this work. And again, this shows the power of questions. If you ask yourself questions like, can I afford that? What'll happen? Bradley says he uses QuickBooks payroll and it's been a godsend. That's another one. They're a little expensive, but they do a great work. So QuickBooks, I coach most of my people to use QuickBooks as a accounting system. I've heard good things about their payroll. So again, as long as it's a big enough company that's going to do the job right and guarantee if something goes wrong, you can just put that to bed. But do you see the difference between spending all of your time worrying about what if I screw up and what if I don't do it and I don't know what I don't know and how do I do it? I called the government employee and they weren't very helpful. Those are all these questions and conversations you're having in your head are going to kill you. What we want is healthy questions like, what do I need to do to mitigate this risk, right? So same thing with, if I hire employees, they're going to steal something. I had a friend that they stole something and they got sued or something terrible happened. Well, guess what? The reality is if you have employees, something terrible absolutely could happen. Doesn't always happen. I've been pretty blessed that having hundreds of employees over the last couple of decades, I'm sure some bad things have happened, but nothing that has been awful. But the question we don't want to ask is what terrible things that could put me out of business will happen if I get an employee. We want to ask, those are potential realities. We want to ask the guaranteed reality. What will happen if I never hire an employee, right? You are guaranteed to be cleaning till you die or go out of business if you don't hire an employee. That's a guaranteed terrible thing that will absolutely happen. So we can start shifting our questions and from what terrible things might happen if I do get employees to what terrible things will absolutely happen if I don't get employees and how do I hire employees in such a way that I mitigate myself from some of that risk. Natalie, I'm sure I'm missing all sorts of genius stuff in here. So jump in and tell me what I'm missing and what value Cleaning Nation needs.
That's honestly, I think with a lot of people that I hear when they talk about the employees, it's not just managing the employees, but really trusting that they'll be able to do a good enough job. I think a lot of people have hangups about, well, my cleaning is the best. I can't possibly train somebody to do cleaning as well as I can. My employees will leave. What are your thoughts on that kind of belief?
Yeah, so that's a great way to go broke is, and Bradley had a comment I'm going to jump in on in a second, but I want to respond to Natalie first. That's a great way to go broke is to think, I'm magical. My cleaning powers are better than anyone else in the world. I've talked to more broke people that think people buy from them, and maybe they do because they're the best cleaners in the world, but that's a great way to stay stuck. Because again, if that reality, if you're going to buy into the reality, the potential reality of, my cleaning is what people do and it's special and no one else could ever possibly do it, that's a great way to guarantee that you're stuck cleaning until the end of time forever. There are you know, I've got multi-million-dollar companies in our coaching, and they get that. If could you imagine if the owner has got 400 employees had this crazy belief that his cleaning was the only one? Well, gosh, if your cleaning that you've got this magical cleaning that your customers demand, if it's so good, how come you only have you, right? We're all the rest of the customer. So the reality of it is maybe this small, tiny bit of people want your specific cleaning, but if you're going to grow a real company that's going to give you freedom financially and time-wise, we're going to have to find customers that want systematized cleaning that you can grow out. So again, these are all beliefs. I mean, we're absolutely mixing in some tactical stuff, but if the beliefs are no good, you're stuck. Bradley says the biggest pain for him is workers' comp since he's got a low annual payroll. So again, I'm going to keep hitting the beliefs because it's a great comment, Bradley, and B, let's talk about the beliefs. So a lot of people, I can't afford, you know, I have to go illegal. I have to go under the table. I can't afford this. I can't afford that. Well, the reality of the situation is, and welcome Jennifer from Delaware. It seems like everybody's east of here. If you are on this broadcast and you are west of Phoenix, give me a shout out. So I know it's not just all the eastern frozen tundra. If we got any Seattle or California, even Hawaii, give a shout out. I guess if you go far enough around, the UK could be east, but I'm considering that west because if I get on a plane, it flies west to see you guys. So anyone on the, or I fly east to get to the UK. So anyway, all that said, yes, on the workers' comp, a lot of people feel like, oh, I can't pay my employees fair wages. I can't pay for travel. I can't pay for mileage. I can't pay for workers' comp. I can't pay for all this stuff. The reality of the situation is there are some people that are totally price motivated and they're going to go for the cheapest price either way. Those are not your customers, right? There's tons of people that quote unquote want help with growing their cleaning company, but they don't want to pay anything. They're not my customer for a couple of reasons. I sold my companies. I don't need your money, but I do need people that are committed. And if people aren't willing to invest in themselves, I can't be more committed to you guys than you are, right? So same with getting the result that your customers want. If they just care about the cheapest price and they don't care about if the people in their buildings are insured, God forbid something gets hurt and they're like, yeah, it's fine. Hey, TJ from Idaho, good to have you, baby. If they don't care if somebody gets hurt and that's okay with their conscience, and they just want a cheap person, that is not for you. So workers' comp, we can always afford it. Same with being legal, same with all the taxes. And, oh, you don't understand, I'm in California. Workers' comp out here is crazy. Well, guess what? You're only competing with other Californians who have Californians who have crazy workers' comp. And I get is a percentage of your payroll can be a little larger if you have a small team, like it sounds like Bradley's got. But the only way to get to a big team is to have a small team. And if your workers' comp is a little more by percentage than some of your competition for a couple months as you grow, that's okay, right? So again, we want to make sure we're asking questions that are going to help us grow, not give us an excuse to stay stuck, right? You can have success or you can have excuses. At no point can you have both. Emma says they've got 12 employees and their big struggle is organizing, says ROTAs. I'm guessing it means route, to make sure we always have cover from holes/sickness. I don't know what holes is. And she's the cover. And that's a great point. We're not going to dive into that too deep today. Maybe we'll do a whole broadcast on that of how to, what to do when someone doesn't show up. And you're absolutely right, Emma. The wrong answer is for you as the owner to go clean. So we'll leave that as a cliffhanger. If you guys want me to do a full thing on that, just reach out to nat@growmycleaningcompany.com and say that's what you want. Anytime you've got anything you'd like to see on these live broadcasts, just email nat@growmycleaningcompany.com and whatever she says to do, I pretty much do. So if she likes it, she likes it. Oh, holidays. Thank you, Emma. I wasn't going to be able to sleep at night wondering what holes are when you have to cover for holes in sickness. Holidays make so much more sense. All right. Another false belief that's going to kill you is I can't afford employees. Right. So many people, if I hire somebody, I got to pay them and I can't afford that. Well, again, it depends. If you want a cleaning job, then you're right. Just clean and keep the 20 or 30 bucks or 40 bucks or whatever you make per hour. That's fine. But if you want a cleaning business, you can't afford not to hire employees. Right. There's just no way. Oh, my gosh. David's from Rhode Island. We just keep getting further and further east. Right. We start with Idaho and Wisconsin and then Delaware. Now, I think Rhode Island feels more easterly than Rhode Island. But I'm a West Coast guy. What do I know? So sorry. My bride just fed me some delicious bacon, which is in my throat. And it's lovely, but not so good when I'm trying to talk. So that other false belief of I can't afford to waste, you know, I can't afford employees. I've got to do the cleaning myself. It really depends on what your goals. If your goal is to have a cleaning company, you can't afford to do the cleaning yourself. Because if you are, who's doing the hiring? Who's doing the client attraction? Who's building the systems? Who's making the systems that are going to run your company? Nobody is, right? You don't have that's a great way to have a cleaning job is to clean, and a terrible way to have a cleaning business is to clean, right? So if you want to have a cleaning business, you have to do business owner type things like building systems, building community, building teams, growing as a person, investing in yourself and your people to get better. That's what owners do. Cleaners clean. So if you want to be a cleaner, God bless you, go clean. If you want to be an owner, you got to do owner type stuff. And then the next kind of thing I hear on that, which is almost as insidious, is, okay, I get, I have to hire employees, but I can't fire the good employees, right? My people pay better than me. I mean, all my competition pays more. They're paying crazy rates. Well, the good news is, A, if everyone else is paying crazy rates, you could pay crazy rates, right? We got to remember that we are competing with people in our area. So if everyone's paying $20 an hour, which they're not, even in the high dollar areas like San Francisco and stuff like that, they're not paying $20 an hour on average. But if they were, that means they have to charge that same amount, which is fine. But the reality is, A, we're going to mark it up. So no matter what we pay our customers, we're going to mark it up. So, or whatever we pay our employees, we're going to mark it up. So our customers are paying for employees, not us. Second, if we pay more, we can attract a customer that is willing to pay more, right? Hey, we pay better people. We get a better caliber of person in your house. Some people want that. Some people don't, right? The world is not all Hyundais. There are Mercedes out there and they do quite well. Thank you very much. So you are not paying for your good employees. Your clients do. And the reality is, the employees aren't even attracted to the best wages. If you do it right, they are attracted to your culture, your community, being a part of something special, something bigger than themselves. And that's what they sign up for. You have to pay them fair, of course, to make sure, you know, it's not very special community if you're working for slave wages. But if you're getting paid fairly and it's a community that you give two craps about that's important to you, you're going to come in hell or high water and it's not going to make as much difference on the pay. Natalie, you look like you're just about to say something genius, and I would be remiss if I missed it. What's shaking over there in your big brain?
God, it's so hard because you hit on a lot of different points. So I don't really have anything amazing to add to that other than
translation. You're so scatterbrained. I can hardly keep up. Never mind saying anything of use. Go ahead, baby.
I would never say that.
I would.
To your face. Only behind your back to anybody.
Well, this is digital. This isn't my face. You can say it, and you know what? You know, you're 33 feet away.
He just never stops talking ever.
That's true.
I want to play devil's advocate and just say, okay, so Mr. Smarty Pants, let's say I have been in the cleaning business for 5 years, and I've got 20 clients, and they all say if I, you know, dare to stop cleaning for them, that they'll fire me. So what steps do I take? Like, how do I do that?
First and foremost, I will be demanding from now on to be addressed as Mr. Smarty Pants. I think that is an excellent title, not just by you, Natalie, but Cleaning Nation, Mr. Smarty Pants with a capital M is how I would like to be addressed. Because I'm going to answer this question with such a Smarty Pants answer, you guys won't be able to resist. So that's a great question. I get that a lot where people feel like, that's why I have Natalie on, because something I hear over and over and over again. I wasn't going to talk about it. And Natalie just brought it right into focus. So there are lots of people who have this belief. I've been doing this for 5 years or 7 years. I've had Mrs. Smith for 20 years and I've grown up with her kids and she loves me. And if anyone else, blah, 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 blah. Well, here's the reality. There is no such thing as slave labor, right? So you are serving Mrs. Smith or Mrs. whomever at your pleasure. And if and when you decide to stop serving her, guess what? She's going to probably have someone else come into her house and clean, right? So it's not, she doesn't get to say, like, you quit when I tell you to quit, right? You get to decide when you want to stop cleaning. And if you want to stop cleaning, her option, she could fire you, but then she's just going to get another stranger that you haven't vetted into her house, which isn't really going to serve her needs. So again, first of all, Mrs. Smith either cares about you as a human being or doesn't. And if she does, and you say something like, hey, I'm trying to expand and really move into as an entrepreneur and serve other people and serve more people and really expand my ability to take care of you. If she cares about you as a decent human being, she's going to be very supportive of that. If she doesn't care about you as a person, she might go, I don't give two craps about you or your family or how you're going to eat. I want your butt in here cleaning my toilet. If that's her attitude, I am just fine with that human being, quote unquote, firing me, because I do not need that in my life. So there's a lot wrapped into it. But the first piece of it is, there's no such thing. She cannot make you clean. So she can choose whether it's going to be a different stranger that she does, that you don't know, that's going to be cleaning for you, i.e. she hires a different company, or if you're going to vet the stranger for her and put that person into her house, which I would think she'd want better, right? Like if Natalie refuses to be my wife going forward, at least I'd like her to pick someone for me as opposed to some stranger.
I've got a list, but everyone keeps denying it. It's just weird.
Yeah, it's a tough sale. There's no question. It's a tough sale. So most times they would prefer to have you, and maybe they would. But the reality is, again, it comes back to, do you want to be a cleaner? Do you want to own a cleaning company? If you want to be a cleaner, then Clean, go do it. Clean Mrs. Smith's toilets. You got my blessing. If you want to be a business owner and some people want you stuck as a cleaner, you might have to be okay with them not being okay with it, right? They're not going to pay your bills, feed your family, or provide for your financial security. So they don't really get a vote. And even if they do get a vote, again, they might try and cut off their nose to spite their face by firing you and getting some other stranger. But either way, if you stop coming, they're going to get somebody different. So it is what it is. So, all right. Great feedback. What else do we need to hit? Anything I'm missing? Anything I'm missing, Natalie, that you want me to go over?
How about like, you know, the very big reality of like, okay, well, you know, there's going to be that shift in right now you keep all of that income, right? Like a lot of owners have like this kind of, I wouldn't say it's a false belief because it is a reality, but, you know, they're like, well, if I clean, it's technically free. I get to keep all of that income. But if I hire somebody, now I'm taking this massive pay cut and I won't be able to support my family. Like, how do I get around that concern?
Great question. So again, you've got to be firm on your foundation. Either you are committed to owning a cleaning company or you're not. If you're interested in having a cleaning company, but not committed, it's never going to work. Cause you're right. It is painful to transition from doing it yourself to hiring people and building systems and processes. That said, once you do get committed, certainly you need to follow the right system, but that mindset's going to be huge. Obviously, we walk people through that process and that transition every time, and there's a lot more to it than this, but I'll give you a good summary right now, and then I'll do my best to give you an option if you want me to walk you through it in more depth what to do then. So the summary is going to be, first and foremost, you have to either just be okay with, well, say I'm making $6,000 a month cleaning myself, and I'm going to hire 100% of my cleaners tomorrow, and they take half, now I'm making $3,000. But the difference is I'm making $3,000 a month with 40 hours a week or however long you were cleaning, ability to grow your company. So with the right system and that kind of time, within 2 or 3 months, you should have been able to make that change from I'm making $6,000 a month working my tail off and I can never make one penny more, because it's really hard to make more than $6,000 a month cleaning unless you're married and you got two free cleaners. You can make that transition to, great, now I make the same $6,000 a month with just two cleaners replacing me. I make that same $6,000 a month till the end of time and never have to clean again. So you have to be into that. Emma says, systematize the word of the week in our company. Emma, make it the word of the month or the year in your company, and I'll give you a big fat virtual hug. So first and foremost, you got to commit 1,000% to making that transition. And again, the worst comes to worst is your workload gets cut to zero, or from all your cleaning workload gets cut to zero, and your wages get cut in half. That's the most aggressive situation. And especially if you're small, and again, if you're doing all the cleaning, you have to be small. I know you're small by definition. If that's the case, usually within 2 or 3 months, if you're really focused, certainly if you have a system, I'll tell you about that in a second, you can replace that income pretty quickly. If you're unwilling or unable to do that financially, you can just do the 2-for-1. I can't get into the details, but if without feeling any financial stress at all, if every time you sell one new customer, you give that customer plus one of your customers away to a new cleaner, as long as your pricing is right, your cash flow should stay exactly the same. So it might take longer to transition from being owner to cleaner, but it won't hurt your cash flow. I like ripping the Band-Aid. If you're in the financial situation to do it, I would just switch them all. But if you can't do that, every time you sell a job, give the job that you sold plus one other job to someone else, and your income, believe it or not, will stay the same if you're running about a 50% cost of goods sold. So once you can hire, you can scale and grow all you want, right? So many people I talk to are like, I've never really done any advertising. We have more customers than we can handle. We've just grown by word of mouth because they're afraid. They don't have employees. And if they can't get the employees, they don't have the confidence they need to win the good bids, right? You end up begging. You can relax and be on the beach and still get paid. You can get sick. You can take time off to spend with your kids, or if you're a woman and you're pregnant, and you can take time off to have a child, create a human being. You can own a business that has value you can sell. And I sold my last couple of business for 7 figures. Let me tell you, it is a lovely feeling, as opposed to a crappy job that you can't sell, right? Like, I mean, you might be able to sell for scraps, but who's going to give you real money for a job, a crappy job? They can get a cleaning job tomorrow without paying you a penny, right? But if you've got a business that you can run, it changes everything. So again, once you get this skill down of how to hire, you can scale and grow with confidence. You can get the bids that you need, have the confidence to win. You can be working or not working and still get paid. And you can transition from having a terrible, crappy job, pun intended, to, you guys will figure that out and go, oh, bad dad joke, to owning a business, an asset that pays you whether you do that or not. If you would like my help walking through that process and how we help people go all the time, I would say at least a third of the folks we work with, that's their issue. They want to go from cleaner to owner, and they want my help doing it. We do it over and over and over again. We've just got dozens and dozens of case studies of folks that we've done that with, or, you know, Facebook posts or emails, or just so many people reaching out and thanking us for walking them through that. And it is my honor. I love, love, love doing that. If you would like my help with that, you can go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk right now and book a time, a complimentary time, believe it or not, for us to talk. And I will walk you through where you're at now, where you want to be. If your goal is to move from cleaning to not cleaning, or I think it was Emma, from being the number one backup to cleaning to not ever cleaning. If you want to move from having a job that either sucks or job that's decent to a company that's actually worth something, go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. Natalie, if you would put that in the chat, because I am not smart enough. Did you put it in there?
I am unable to do that from my side. I'm sorry.
Son of a gun. So I've got to do it. When we start trusting me for the technology people, that's a problem. Hold on.
Sadly, they don't trust me with controls over here as a guest.
I like that. It makes me feel a false sense of empowerment just to show you how shallow I am.
Cleaning is not a crappy job. Just any job when you want to be an entrepreneur is a crappy
job. No, get it? Cleaning, toilets, crappy, anything, nothing. It's a dad joke. I got it right in there.
You're the worst.
I am the worst. I don't know that we could really, that's not debatable. I posted growmycleaningcompany.com/talk, but I don't see it. There it is. All right. Showed up. All right, guys, gals, Idahoans, Wisconsinians, UK folks, freezing people, warm people. So great to join you and hang out. Hopefully you've got some good tools, not only on how to transition from being a cleaner to owning a company, but transition from a mindset of weakness and fear and what if, and I don't know how taking charge and having a mindset of taking charge and making what you need happen in your business. We will be back in just a couple days with a new broadcast. Love, love, love having you on. Look forward to talking to you soon. Again, growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. If you want to talk with me one-on-one, I'll see you then. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.